All right, Job chapter 2. Doesn't that sound good? We're going to read the first six verses and go through a thought here tonight as we continue to study about this. By the way, it will go a little more quickly now that we've laid a very firm foundation on this idea of this book of Job and this account of this man's life and what happened to him. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, and I will read out loud. You can follow along silently there in the first six verses of Job chapter 2. The Bible says, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give up for his life, or give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Now, if you remember in the previous chapter, we have this basically identical conversation, right? In chapter 1, this is what happened. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also. We already discussed that and talked about what that could have meant, and such and so forth. I kind of like how this says again, all right? Now, I want you to think about this. We don't know the time frame, okay? We don't really know. We don't really know how long it was between these conversations. By the way, we also don't know how often they had these meetings. You know, this is really the only account of these kinds of meetings. So we really don't know, but it just says again, right? So I don't know if this was days, months, years, weeks. You know, we just really don't know when this was. But it was a later time. It was after this first event, okay? And so I want you to realize that as God is talking to Satan, and they're having this conversation. God already has told Satan about Job, and Satan challenged God on whether or not he really was who God said he was. And he put a challenge and said, "Well, if you take away all that he has, then he'll curse you." And so, it's not because God thinks that Satan forgot who Job was and what God said about him that he said it again. Everybody understand? Because it didn't come in here. He didn't come in and say, you know, when these creatures came and Satan came with them, he didn't say, "Hey, Satan, how's it going with that Job project?" You know, he didn't say that. He went back to the facts. "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" "Hey, Satan, did you consider him? Did you?" And then he adds to it how he did in that trial. He said, look at verse 3. About halfway through it says, "And he still holdeth fast his integrity." And I want to kind of just sit right there for just a second, and I want you to understand that last week we talked about not charging God foolishly. But are we going to hold fast our integrity? You see, Job was a righteous man. Is everybody okay with that? He did fear God, and he eschewed evil, right? And God says, look, And remember the accusation, back, just if you want to flip back over to chapter 1 and see here what Satan says. He says, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" So he said, God, it's not because of his integrity that he fears you. It's not because of his integrity that he serves you. It's not because of his integrity that he's righteous. He's doing it because of what you've given him. So he's not what you think, God. Okay, that's what Satan is accusing Job of. And he says, look, if I take all these things away, then he won't retain his integrity. He won't keep doing these things, and he won't be the man that you think he is. That's what Satan is insinuating. And so as we think about this, as we deal with life's trials and troubles, are we going to hold fast our integrity? So basically, what integrity is the keeping of something. Okay? So like if, in other words, the keeping of truth, the keeping of righteousness, the keeping of eschewing evil or fearing God, that's really what integrity is. When you hold fast your integrity, when you say someone's a man of integrity or a woman of integrity, what is it you're telling about them? That they're perfect, upright, one with high moral standards. That's someone with integrity. They won't lie, cheat, steal, you know, manipulate. They are a person of integrity. So if Job were to have failed in any of those areas, would he have held fast his integrity? No. And so, as we look at this, the biggest thing that I get from this is that phrase, and then why God says to Satan a second time, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And he repeats it. He said, "There is none like him in the earth." He said that before. He said, "A perfect and upright man." He said that before. "One that feareth God and escheweth evil," and still. And still, Satan. And still, he's one that is none like him in the earth. And he is one that is perfect. And he is one that is upright. And he is one that feareth God. And he is one that escheweth evil. And still, he is that man, Satan. Even though you've taken everything from him, he still is that man. If you look at your life, and if I look at my life, as we go through trials and temptations and difficulties, are we still that person? I hope so. I'd like to think so. Now, in the life of Job, was there ever a time that he stumbled and fell? We don't know, because we're not told that. But we do know that there was none like him in the earth. So do you think that at this time of history, there were other men that loved God and followed after God and knew of God? I think Job's friends were kind of like that. But God said there's none like him in the earth. He's one that still holds fast his integrity. Because see, guess what? We know Satan is a roaring lion. And he walketh about, what does the Bible say? Seeking. Whom he what? Yeah, but what's the key word there? May devour. Now, I teach this in class. It doesn't say whom he can devour. Can is ability. Right, teachers? Can I go to the bathroom? I sure hope so.
Right? I mean, to not have that ability is a dangerous thing. It's a medical condition. You need to check that checked out, right? No. Can is ability. May is permission. Oh, whoa. What is this story talking about? Oh. So we know this is happening. This doesn't just happen to Job. This happens over and over in generation after generation after generation. Culture to culture, family to family, people to people, individuals to individuals. I mean, the devil is looking for those. He walketh about. Satan, where are you? Oh, I'm going to and fro in the earth. And he says, and from walking up and down in it. It hasn't changed. The New Testament is where we find that verse about being aware of the devil and that he's a roaring lion. And that he's seeking whom he may devour. Still the same. Still the same. But are we going to still hold fast in our integrity, although everything is taken away? Now I'm not going to get ahead of myself here, but in verses 7 through 8, we see the second thing that Satan does to Job, and he does affect his physical being. And I want you just to skip ahead just for a second, just to catch a phrase here. In verse 9, his wife said unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? And by the way, we're going to talk about Mrs. Job later. All right? We'll talk about that at another time. I think she gets too much grief. That's my personal opinion. Okay? That preachers are too hard on Mrs. Job. Okay? And anyways, we'll talk about that another time. But this key word here is integrity. She said, Job, are you still going to stay faithful to God? Are you still going to be one that fears God, a perfect and upright man, eschewing evil, even though now you've been afflicted physically, and this is now happening to you as an individual? It's not just about the camels. It's not just about the children. And now it's your own health. And are you still going to hold fast to your integrity? Let me just read a few scriptures for you tonight, because I want you to chew on this thought throughout this week. The Bible gives us ammunition, folks, to be able to hold fast our integrity. Through trials, through temptations, through troubles, and through difficulties. Don't forget that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay? And so, I'm just going to read a few of these passages to you to take with you this week as you think about retaining your integrity or holding fast to your integrity. It says in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up into the up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Now, many believe Paul's talking about himself, a personal experience that he had. Many think it was when he was stoned to death outside of Lystra. Okay, that's just the common consensus of the thoughts of this story. So then it says here, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself will I not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will save the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. So, really kind of what he's saying here, he's like, this was a really cool experience, and I got to experience, but I'm not going to take the glory for it. I want to, but I can't, I'm not going to, you know, that's the gist of it. Okay, everybody understand that from what he's saying? Okay, very good. So then he says this. In verse 6, he says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that which he heareth me of me." And then he says in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations." He says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now listen to this. This next phrase is very important. "The messenger of God to buffet me." Is that what it says? It doesn't say that. It says the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And then we all know the rest of this. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul then says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He continues and says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." That's how you retain your integrity, folks. You realize that even if it is a messenger of Satan, even if it is this thorn in the flesh, it is because God has allowed it to take place in your life. And you should glory in it for God's sake. And then you know what? You're still perfect. You're still upright. You still fear God. And you still eschew evil. And you've held fast your integrity. Romans 5, Paul writes and says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." You see, we can retain our integrity. We can hold fast to our integrity. We can still be perfect. We can still be upright. We can still eschew evil. We can still fear God, even though these difficulties come. And by the way, at this point in time, when God says that, he's only experienced the loss of wealth and the loss of his children. And if you will, the loss of his servants, which I argued last week that he cared about them too. Now, but the trials and the temptations should drive us to take refuge in God, should drive us to hold even, I'm going to use a terrible English phrase here, faster to God, okay? More fast. We should be more steadfast. We should be more unmovable. We should be more abounding when these things happen. They should not drive us away from it. They should not drive us to throw that integrity out, to let go. It should cause us to make it tighter. Embracing God. Embracing his comfort. Embracing his grace. Embracing his sanctuary and his refuge. Because that's what he is. Job decided to do that. And we'll see that again next week as we talk about the physical things that happened to him. 2 Corinthians 6 says, "We then, as workers together with him,
beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand of God and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. That's a mouthful. What is he saying? He says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You understand that the Apostle Paul and his crew, if you will, went through a lot of things. And yet they were able to shine as the ministers of Christ, as starting churches and winning people all over the known world at that time. And why were they able to do that? Because they could retain their integrity. They could hold fast to what they were. And if they can do it, guess what? We can do it. You know, it's no mistake that James says in James chapter 1, he says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. There's no mistake of that. That we can do these things through Jesus Christ that strengthens us. We know that when we make it through and we do retain our integrity and we hold on to these things, that it will perfect us. And it will make us stronger. And it will make us more able to bear the next flood of things that happen. You see, what Satan didn't really realize is that this first onslaught actually strengthened Job's integrity instead of weakening it. It did. And we see that because God added that to his resume. He didn't say that at the first time. He didn't say, Satan, remember you tried to attack him before and he still was this kind of man? It was, Satan, have you considered this guy? Well, yeah, God, I considered him, but you got a hedge of protection around him. And if you let me hurt him, then he'll curse you. You know. And then he says, well, hey, Satan, have you considered this guy? Yeah, I considered him. And he still, Satan, holdeth fast his integrity. I hope that could be said of us, because can I tell you something? The devil is relentless. You say, well, he came by my place and God had a hedge of protection around me and he couldn't attack me. That means he's not going to come by again. He may come back again. Just to see if you're still holding fast your integrity. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to find those that he can have a place. That's why it says resist the devil. Right? It says, neither give place to the devil. That's the kind of Christians we've got to be. Be like Job and still hold fast your integrity.